And so, thank you guys so much. This is a really special day. I don't take this lightly at all, because there's a lot of spiritual significance to what just took place. But as a pastor here, my heart is to serve, period. Like I always tell people, they want leadership. And I'm like, why? Do you know what that means, honestly? Like, man, with Nico and those guys, we always said, like, everybody wants to be on the stage, but nobody wants to do the stuff, you know, Monday through Saturday, where you actually got to show up and do real work, you know? And so leadership is a high place of responsibility and a low place of service, you know? And that's how I've really defined it. And so I just want to kind of go over just sermon, I guess. And it's not really a sermon. It's really just the story of my life, because as I'm here, I just want you guys to know me more because we're family. And so I just want to kind of share that. And so I want to start out with Isaiah 52:7 from the Message. And it says, "How beautiful on the mountain are the feet of the messenger, bringing good news, breaking the news that all's well, proclaiming good times, announcing salvation, yeah. Telling Zion, your God reigns."
Woo. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Good.
And
good.
So, twofold to this. Number one, Zion Williamson. I am. Yes, I am. I live in Durham. You guys already anointed me, so I'm in. I bleed a different kind of blue. We won when it counts.
That's so good.
Yes. Yes. Oh, man. But seriously, so this is kind of the precursor to the message. Is the gospel, the good news. And as Matthew was preaching last week, one of the values here in this house is missions. And, you know, God has called us all to live as sent ones. We're a family on a mission, you know. And so I want to share kind of that story. And I love, me and Matthew kind of think alike. I'm like, man, you're reading like straight off of what I got right now about St. Patrick. And I'm like, that's good. That way I can dive into the other stuff right now. I don't have to go through all of this. But St. Patrick, as he said, he was 16 years old, got enslaved, taken to Ireland from his hometown. And then he, through a series of dreams and things like that, was sent back to preach the gospel, you know, over 100,000 some odd baptisms, planted like 300 churches there, saw signs, miracles, and wonders, you know, over 29 years of ministry. Incredible, incredible man of God, you know, the whole thing about the shamrocks or the three-leaf clover is kind of been taken over now and kind of used in a different way, but he really used that as an illustration to explain the Trinity, you know, because Ireland was a pagan country at the time before he evangelized it. Mm-hmm. And he really used that to say that there aren't three gods, it's three gods in one, you know, and the Trinity is a hard thing to explain. And so I'm glad he found something like that to really use as a visual illustration. And so for me, you know, I didn't always celebrate St. Patrick in that way. I remember before Christ when I was, you know, and like St. Patrick wasn't always a saint as well. You know, he grew up in a Christian home, but he really didn't believe until he was enslaved, and he really got along with the Lord as he was enslaved as a shepherd. He was tending his slave owner or slave master's flock, and he really dove into God, the things that had been shown to him through his father, who was a deacon, his grandfather, who was a priest. You know, and faith really became real to him at that time, and God showed himself in his life. And so for me, I remember waking up one St. Patrick's Day, and I don't know, maybe some of you guys had this experience before, because I know we weren't saved our whole lives. And so I remember waking up, you know, looking on my arms, And it was covered in shamrocks like clovers from my hands, my forearms, going up my arms, some on my face. You know, I go into the bathroom, I try to wash them off, and I'm like, oh my gosh, did I do this something really stupid? Did I get tattooed with like shamrocks last night? You know what I mean? And luckily it was not tattooed on me, as you can see, so my Lord. But I say that to say, you know, life for me, I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up knowing Jesus, as my mom said, like I grew up in the church, but I didn't always follow Jesus wholeheartedly my entire life. Had a belief, but there was no obedience to follow and really run after God like that. And so, I remember lots of things, before I came to Christ that are being redeemed right now. I remember calling my Uncle Bobby in Hot Spring after a night of partying and crashing my car. I was just like, what in the world did I just do? You know, and, they've been there for me. And then in the recession, I went through a major job loss that caused me a huge financial like setback. But through it all, God has been faithful. I remember, just seeing the pattern of him throughout my entire life. It's been sign after sign after sign. I remember, Mama, you remember you used to drive that old brown Hyundai, man. Yeah, good Lord, and I remember the night before, like, somebody came through the Spanco parking lot, and hit that car. What most people don't know is I was praying that night before, and I was like, God, my mom needs a new car.
Wow.
And through just circumstances, somebody comes from, like, one or two counties away, plows through the parking lot, hits a number of cars. Her vehicle happens to be one of them in the parking lot. And she's like, hey, Tonk, we're getting a new car. Tonk is my other name that I get called as well. So it's family time here. This is the father's living room, so yeah. We're sharing stories, right? And so, another thing, the car I drive now is the car that I did crash in Wilmington. It's the exact same car.
Wow.
Restored. One of the first jobs back into fitness, you guys heard me tell a testimony of losing with Parisia or whatever and having, a lot of success there. That's being restored after having that financial setback. I was actually in the gym business then, managing one. And so there's a lot of things that I've seen the Lord just really doing and restoring in my life. Wow. Even until now. I've just come to learn the goodness of God, and it was in Wilmington that I really gave my life to him. And it wasn't only until he became real to me. It was through the preaching of the word of other people, but he manifested himself to me in a dream, and showed himself to me. And it really just opened my heart. I knew then of like, okay, there's something I got to turn around in my life. And when you really submit your life to God, I know there were at least three things that really happened. Number one was a passion for Jesus. Like, it grew exponentially. My love for Jesus, my devotion for Jesus grew exponentially. Like, there were a lot of things in my life, partying, girls, drugs, different stuff like that. And it doesn't have to be that. It could be anything for anybody, because there is no addition of adding Christ to your life or anything by your own good works or anything like that. Is his substitution, your old life for his.
Yeah.
And so when he came into my life, I grew in the love and devotion for him. And so I grew in first love. And so the second thing that I noticed is that when I became a part of a church, that I grew in a heart for serving. The heart to serve and be a part of a local church, or church in general, is it grew in my heart to love the church and to love others. And so that was the first commandment that Jesus gave you: love God, love other people. And that started to grow in my life. And the third thing that I saw was a desire to see cities and nations transformed by his presence.
Yeah. Yes. Come
I don't know where it came from. I can't say it was my own desire. I started looking around when I was in Wilmington. I was like, something needs to change. You know, and I knew it wasn't from me. That was the Holy Spirit working out of me and saying, look at this. I want you to see it how I see it. I want you to partner with me as a co-laborer. You've had your identity established as a part of my covenant. Know me as Father. You're my son. You're giving a response to me in obedience right now. But I want you, as Tracy said, there's another part of that of where he wants you to know him as king. And in a kingdom, there comes authority and there comes power.
Yeah.
And there comes responsibility in serving to the place where God calls you to plant and grow.
Amen.
And you're going to want to grow. If you're really in Jesus, you're going to want to see that place transformed.
Amen. Yeah.
And so it started off with the locality that I was in Wilmington. And I wanted to reach people there. So I created an outreach opportunity. We started transforming the local community there. And the crazy thing about this is I was like trying to pray about what to preach on. And I was just looking up St. Patrick, George Lyle or whatever. He's like the first missionary sent from America to Jamaica. And I started listening to circuit riders. And the next thing that I know, I get a call from this lady in the community that I used to serve in Wilmington out of the blue. And so I was like, okay, Lord, I know what I'm supposed to preach on right now. You know, and it was mission. And so there's a strong call in my life for that. And it really came out of knowing Jesus. I mean, he started to put nations on my heart, you know, cities on my heart, people on my heart, campuses on my heart, you know, family on my heart, the marketplace on my heart. And these are all mission fields. And so one of the things about that is that when this happened, I started to, I had this necklace because I used to work in a bookstore. So I ordered this necklace and I wore it as a prophetic symbol. It was a periscope, it was a globe, and it was a compass. And what it was saying is that I have the faith and the foresight to see where you're calling me to the nations, to the four corners of the world, to the unreached people groups. The day that that necklace broke, I was actually released into missions. And so there are people sitting here today that I feel like are going to be called into that. Maybe not to foreign nations, but maybe even here in Chapel Hill. And so there are a lot of other things that I want to just kind of, I mean, like when God's call is on your life, I mean, one of the things St. Patrick had to realize was God's call on his life. He had a dream where he saw a man from Ireland come with a basket full of letters. And in these letters, one of them, it was the voice of the Irish. And he opens up one of the letters and the letter is saying, "Holy man, will you please come to us? We need you."
Wow.
God was calling him. And so there's a realization of a calling on your life. And as Chuck stated, you know, like being a kid from a small town, I was like, I never thought I would travel the globe ever. I never really thought I would make it out of Lincoln. I made it to Wilmington. I was like, oh, I'm doing something right now, you know. But he's taken me to over 5 different nations, you know, Nepal, India, China, Malaysia, Cambodia, China, all these different places that he's put on my heart. And to preach the gospel to unreached people groups, people who have less than 2% of their population that is church. So they have no real evangelist to really reach them. You know, it's crazy. Like I always say, people talk about a justice movement. I'm like, Lord, the greatest injustice is that people never heard of Jesus. The greatest injustice. If they never have heard of Jesus, no opportunity to hear of anybody saying, here's who Jesus is. This amazing person that's coming back and loves you, died for you, cares for you. You've never heard of him, you know, and that's in our own backyard as well. And so you don't have to travel the globe to preach the gospel. But in doing so, where the Lord launched me out, I've seen, you know, in a span of 5 years, I've seen over close to probably 100 to 200 people saved at the preaching of the gospel. 26 people groups reached. And I don't say this to be braggadocious. I say this because, like, Jesus took a small kid from Lincoln and did this.
Yes, that's good.
Like, this was not my plan at all.
That's good.
Yeah.
And so took me around the globe to preach the gospel, seeing signs, miracles, wonders, incredible stuff, and it wasn't just overseas. I see them in America. I've actually seen more miracles in America than I have overseas. And so what I really feel like today is, number one is that as I look out here, I don't know where you guys sit with Jesus, but I feel like there's three things, you know. I mean, I love to preach the gospel. At the heart of my heart, I want to preach the gospel. The gospel, the gospel, the gospel, because it's great news. It's absolutely fantastic news that in the beginning of the Bible, the story from beginning to end is heaven invading earth, the restoration of Eden, that Jesus comes back and restores what the Father always desired was communion with his people. Yeah. It's not us leaving and going to heaven and getting out of here and saying bye-bye to the world, because he's saying, listen, heaven's not good enough either. I'm actually getting rid of that as well. As well as I'm getting rid of the earth, I'm going to join them back together the way the Garden of Eden was originally designed. And that's what I desire, is to dwell amongst you as a people.
Yes.
In the beginning, just like everybody has in their life, we've chosen autonomy from God, you know, to say at some point that, hey, I can do it better than you can. I'm going to come over here. And he's like, no, you can't. I'm pursuing you. And that's what he's longing for people to hear, that he's pursuing their heart, that he wants to know them. And at the heart of the gospel is a passionate God that is passionate about the people he created in his image, and restoring them back to the Father who loves his sons and daughters. Because at the end of the day, there is an eternal reality that we have to all face. I mean, heaven and hell are real places. They are. Don't let anybody tell you that. There's a huge controversy in the church today. You know, that's going on. Is hell real? Yes.
Yeah.
Hell yes, it's real.
Yes.
It is.
Yeah.
Hell is a real place.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just like heaven is real, just like the earth is real, hell is a real place. Mm-hmm. You know? And that's not the message per se that the church, the early church spoke, though. They didn't speak a lot about heaven and hell. It was more about Jesus than anything else. Because he proclaimed the good news. They were like, hey, this is what Jesus, this is who Messiah is.
Yes.
And that's the heart of the gospel.
Yeah.
Is a man that loves his bride, that loves his people, that died for his people.
Yeah.
And I feel like as a church, that's our heart for missions, that we want cities to be transformed by the present. We want Chapel Hill. We want Durham.
Yes.
We want Raleigh. We want the campuses,
yes,
families,
yes,
marketplace, all these places. We want them to be transformed,
yes,
by his presence.
Yes.
And so as this kind of wraps up, I'm at 11:57, so I'm riding in right on time right now. And so I just had a couple words as I was asking God, and I'll release this to Facebook as I look out. I don't know what, you know, if you have never received Jesus Christ into your life, I want to give you that opportunity to invite him into your heart, to make him Lord of your life. Just like St. Patrick did, he didn't know Jesus, but he got into a situation where he had to depend and call out for the one that he knew, the one he had heard of from his father, his grandfather, myself, the person I had heard of from my mom, my grandma, my family members. He became real to me, and I want him to become real to you. And so if you don't know him as your own personal savior, just submit your life to him today. You can do that real simply. It's not just a prayer you pray. It's how you live your life, you know, and walk that out in obedience to him of saying, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I want to invite you in, not just into my heart, but to take over my life. I thank you that you've died for my sins.
Amen.
And I want to make you Lord, Lord,
yes,
Lord of my life, that I submit all of my life, all of my heart to you.
Amen.
And if you believe that, it says, if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart, then he will come in and make his dwelling place with you.
Yeah.
And so the second thing is that I feel like there are, I feel like this is for the older generation in the church. I feel like there are people in here who have been running with God for years, like decades, you know, of faithfulness to Him. And what I want to say to you as a younger generation is that the best is yet to come.
Amen.
I really feel like that. I really don't feel like He's done with you.
Yeah.
Not by a long shot. You've been praying for revival. You've been just contending for it, wanting to see it. You've probably seen waves of it hit. You know, the Jesus People movement and other different things like that of the past. And I'm believing that He's going to pour out His Spirit again before you go.
Yes.
As a younger generation, if you're one of the younger ones in here, I want to get behind them.
Amen.
Like, they support us so much. I want to get behind them and say, let's go.
Yes.
What are the dreams that are on your heart?
Yes.
And how can we see them come to pass in a reality?
Yeah.
It's that whole thing between Joshua and Moses, you know, of where Joshua served for so many years, you know, but he was really serving the vision and God that God had on Moses, the call on his life. And he did it with humility. He didn't try to usurp any authority or anything like that. He honored that person who had ran before him, you know. And so, as forerunners to a generation, from the younger generation, I just want to bless you guys. And so right now, if you're a younger person, I mean, just reach your hand out to someone who may be older than you, like, you know, and just really right now, I just want to release these fathers and mothers a blessing over them. Because church isn't just about a younger generation receiving it all or anything like that. Yes, we love the campuses and things like that. But it's also about young people. We got to learn how to serve, man. We really got to learn how to serve and serve well. It's going to open up more doors than anything else of opportunity in our lives. So right now, Father, we call in heaven's will. Your will, Jesus, your kingdom, reality, your heart, your desire, the desires you put in their heart for revival, the desires you put in their heart as they've been laboring, God, decades, faithfulness, God. Father, I pray that you would rekindle a fire and a passion in their heart, God. That they will see the things, God, that they will just see them, God, manifested here on earth, God.
Yes.
Father, that they would see the harvest. Jesus, you pray in Matthew 9, he prays. Jesus is looking out on a crowd. He says the harvest is plentiful. He has compassion on this crowd, and he says the harvest is plentiful. And we got to see that now. The harvest is plentiful. And he says, let's send out more, pray to God to send out, to Ekbalo more laborers into the field.
Yeah.
So Father God, right now, we pray over this generation that they would see the harvest. That they would see a harvest, God. That they would see a harvest in their lifetime, God. Another great wave, another harvest, God, coming in. In Jesus' name. And I feel the last thing, I feel there's a call to go forth. Because the harvest is ripe. There are many people in here. Michael, I just want to honor you too, dude. Today, your salvation day. Man, this is one of my bros. I mean, like, he's one of the guys that initially kind of opened up this area. You know, Nico, Dennis, who was in here. I mean, long hours in the prayer room of them listening to my terrible one chord strumming. Those dudes, like, got some perseverance, you know. But really, you know, anybody that in this younger generation that's been laboring, Chris Fargo, I mean, like, the work you've done on campuses, you know, and even more people in here, you know. But I feel like there's a call that the Lord is just saying, I'm reigniting that passion in you guys as well. That there's a harvest coming.
Yes.
That there's a real harvest coming. Man, Judah, Gabe, all you guys, man. All of us in here, Tim, Eva, man, everybody. I mean, there is Deanna and Ben. I mean, everybody in here, man. Jordan, I mean, we're all in this together. We're all wanting to see a harvest. Daniel, this younger generation, that we want to see a harvest. And I really believe the Lord just saying, like, that he's going to reignite that fire of revival in this generation. And so what I want to end with is just a call for you to find your mission field, honestly. Just like I found mine, you know. I feel like, you know, no matter where you're at, there's a mission field for you. You know, whether it be the nations, or it could be cities, it could be campuses, could be your family, it could be the marketplace. But there's a mission field for you. So why don't we just stand right now as I pray. I want you to just ask the Lord, where is that mission field that I'm called to? And we're going to pray for the Lord this prayer. You can pray this. I used to do this at 2 times a day at 10 o'clock, Luke 10:2. You can pray 2 times a day. Real easy to remember this, where the Lord ekbalos laborers out into mission fields. We're praying for him to ekbalo, or to send laborers into the mission field. So Father, right now, I just ask, we just shut down any other voices that are speaking right now, God, that are not from you, because we want to hear from you clearly, God, right now. So Holy Spirit, we just invite you into our hearts, into our minds, to speak to us right now about where our mission field is. Where is that mission field for us as a family? But where is that mission field for us individually as well? And so why don't you just take a second and ask the Lord, where is that field? Where is that harvest field that he's calling us to? Or calling you to? So, Lord, we believe the words that you speak are real.
Yeah.
And we wait for you to move. And we say, we ask for you to send laborers into that place, to send laborers onto the campus of UNC, to send laborers onto the campus of Duke University, to send laborers on the campus of NC State, Central, Meredith, all the colleges that are in this area, God. We ask that you would send laborers into these places, Lord. Father, send us out as missionaries to our families, God. Missionaries to our workplaces, God. Missionaries to the nations of the earth, God. And I believe there are people that are going to be launched out of here like arrows to the unreached people groups of the world. Like, I believe there are nations in here that... when the Lord said nations, he was talking about the ethnos, the ethnic groups, or the people group, the people languages, clusters that they divide those up into. I believe he's going to launch people out into those different places to see a harvest of righteousness.
Okay, wait, stay there. Eva, will you come play? I really feel like the Lord really does. He's speaking to people right now in the room. And what I've been feeling from the Lord that he has been saying in this is, all I need is your yes.
Yeah.
All I'm asking you for is your yes. And yes, we get it, and it's true. When you get in the presence of the Lord and you're feeling the presence of the Lord and you say yes to something, and then later you think, what was I thinking? But I will guarantee you, he gives us an invitation. And when you respond with your yes, he supplies everything. He wants to come. What I feel like the Lord was saying is, I want to come blow your mind.
Yeah.
I want to come blow your mind. I want to do abundantly above anything you could ask or imagine. And so when you give God your yes, He wants to come and absolutely, don't be afraid of being moved by the Spirit. Say, Lord, come move my heart. Come do that T was saying of, come burn in my heart again. Come awaken that passion again. Come renew my vision. Come do what only you can do, Holy Spirit. Come stir in my heart. Come stir up that yes for those things that maybe I wouldn't say yes except for I'm being moved by the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And you know what I've learned is, Lord, only the Lord can move me that way. Only the Lord. So you know it's a really good thing when He moves you like that. When He causes you to say yes to things you would never say yes to outside of Him. But I just am saying to you, let the Lord move your heart. Let Him come and burn in your heart. And then all He wants is your yes. All He wants is your yes. So Lord, I would just ask You right now that You would continue to burn in our hearts. That You would continue to stir those places, Lord. Shake off the dust, Lord. Shake off the dust. Lord, that we would be able to say yes. Lord, we want to say yes. We want to say yes to You, Lord. We want to respond to You right now in this place, Lord. We want to respond. We are responding. We are responding to You. We're saying yes. Yes, Lord. Yes to what You called us to. Yes to what You've destined us to. Because You are more than enough. You are more than able to do. You're more than able to bring forth those promises, Lord. It's You. It's You that brings the promises. It's You that brings forth those promises. Yeah. Hold on. I'm going to read this scripture. That's what that scripture I was reading this morning. Psalms. Hold on 1 second, guys. I really feel this. It's Psalm 137. Just get to it real quick. Lord, just continue to speak to everybody in this room right now. But I'll tell you what it was saying. Because what the Lord was saying to me this morning was, He was saying, I'm the one that brings forth the promises. I am the one that brings, that will perform that, my promises. I am the one that will perform my promises. And so as you say yes to the Lord today, just know that the Lord's the one that's going to come forth and perform.
Amen.
He wants to blow your mind.
Amen.
So, amen. Yes. Thank you, T.